Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Shotgun for Glennon. Bears at the line of scrimmage. The safeties are back deep in the corners. Are off. The snap is back. Glennon rifles it over the middle, and it's near. It is intercepted on the reflection. And the deflected ball goes into the hands of Roquan Smith. And they're inside the 25-yard line. He actually fumbled it for a second again. But Roquan Smith on the deflection.
Was it a deflection from Khalil?
Don't know. They're in the shadows. It's hard to all see. Right. We're by our vantage point. But maybe Danny. Deflected by Danny Trevathan.
Yes.
Quick reaction by Roquan Smith running with the ball. And the Bears have turned over. Mike Glennon again.
It's about just controlling the destiny. And when I seen that last night, of course I was happy. But at the end of the day, we was just still more focused on controlling what we could control. And that's just our input, output, you know, each and every week. So it was just about that and just doing our jobs. And good things happened to the whole team. Good things in a sense. So just excited for the team, but we have one more. Enjoy this win, but we got to have one more to do what we really want to do.
That was the voice of Bears inside linebacker Roquan Smith. Another quality game from him today. Another really outstanding game from a playmaking perspective for the linebackers. The inside linebackers specifically, at Trevathan with some pass deflections, with a sack on a blitz, and of course Roquan with two huge interceptions in the game when it comes down to it, especially that first one. There was a response from Trubisky's interception, then Roquan comes right back, answers with an interception as well, giving the Bears an opportunity to at least go into halftime with a lead 13-10 with that Bears defense responding with a takeaway.
A big ant, man. I mean,
yes, sir.
It's 2nd and 4 with 17 seconds left. You're on the 26-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
They threw the ball to Jaguars. I don't want to say they're throwing the game. But when you watch that play closely, I mean, it looked like Glennon was throwing it to Roquan.
Roquan was
and
open.
Then,
oh, no doubt.
I wanted to ask you about. Did you see, did they go prevent and basically give the Bears a field goal at the end of the half?
I mean, how crazy was that?
I don't know, man. That was a crazy, like, I mean, if you're in the top of the NFL brass, that was a crazy, like, what just happened in this game?
And for that to play out, that's, of course, the voice of Olin Krutz. I'm Anthony Harris, post show, taking you up to Bulls pregame here later on in this hour. But to think through that for a moment, where Jacksonville, through today's loss, the Jaguars locked up the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Everyone presumes that will be Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence. He may end up winning the Heisman. I had a Heisman vote for the first time this year. I'm not allowed to say who I voted for, but Trevor Lawrence is an outstanding football player. Everyone assumes he's going to be the top pick. Jacksonville, certainly, if you hadn't seen before today, you saw it today. They need a quarterback. I don't know, man. It's really weird because not only does Glennon throw the pick, but then they basically gift wrap enough yardage for a safe field goal try for the hottest kicker in the National Football League, with putting, basically they put eight players on the goal line and said, all right, take it.
The Bears were on the 32-yard line, Big Ant. So 49-50-yard field goal from there. And they put everybody on a goal line and basically let them get down to the 22.
And, I mean, Cole Kmet could have run for another 10 yards. He could have made it even more of a chip shot. It wasn't even like the defenders reacted that quickly. He probably could have got it another 10 yards closer if he really wanted to. He got the catch and then slid down. So it's just such a weird sequence of plays going back and forth, ending the first half there. Cairo Santos comes on, strokes the field goal. Bears take a 13-10 lead into the half and overall end up scoring 31 points unanswered before Jacksonville ended up getting another touchdown there later in the game. But so the Bears offense has been the main topic of discussion here, as it tends to be, and especially with the last, let's call it, at least handful of years here, where the Bears defense has been quality, has been certainly above average and at times excellent and dominant, and a couple years ago historically dominant. This season they began playing at a really high level as well. Now here, since the bye week, really, I mean, there was the Texans game in there where there was a level of playmaking that seemed sort of near the level we expected. But overall, out of the bye week, we haven't seen a Bears defense, even with the Bears offense. One of the topics you and I have discussed a lot, and I know you guys on the football after show on NBC Sports Chicago have talked about it. We certainly have on Bears Post Game Live on Fox 32. At whatever point they could get something from the Bears offense, it should enhance the way the Bears defense could attack. And I'd say today was another example of the Bears defense. I mean, they played well against a bad offense, obviously did enough to win the game, had a couple of really nice takeaways, but this wasn't a dominant showing from the Bears D, especially against the run, the pressure on Mike Glennon as a quarterback. How concerned, you sort of touched on this a little bit earlier, how concerned is it worth being about where the Bears defense is at right now?
I think we've talked about it before that you're concerned just because, you know, the Packers scored 41, the Lions scored 34, and then the Vikings scored 27. That's three teams in a division, you know, basically averaging 34 points a game against our defense, which, you know, there's a lot of money on that side of the ball, and you obviously expect more from. And then, like you said today, now to be honest with the listeners, for everything the Jaguars have going wrong, they do have a decent offensive line. Jaywan Taylor, their right tackle, very good player. Cam Robinson, their left tackle. Mm-hmm. Andrew Norwell, their left guard, big money left guard. They signed from the Carolina Panthers. So they do have a good offensive line, which is another reason why they, you know, both running backs, James Robinson out, and the guy today runs for 5 yards a carry. So they do have a good offensive line, but you still want more pressure from that front of Quinn and Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks and Bilal Nichols and all these guys, and we end up with one sack, and I think the sack was from Danny Trevathan. So this defense, who, you know, for this Chicago Bears team, began, I think, I don't know if you would agree, but for them to make a run in these playoffs, we're going to have to start getting some takeaways, and that starts with pressuring the quarterback.
Yeah, Dare Ogunbowale, who you talked about him a little bit early. I noticed you strategically avoided going through saying his name yet again, but you knocked it out of the park.
Once
the first
was plenty enough for me, man.
I thought you said it really well the first time out of the gate. Once was plenty, but 14 carries, 71 yards. And they came out, they had like some, you know, some tackle over and putting an extra tackle on the field in place of a tight end. They were doing some of that early in the game. So I thought, all right, maybe this is going to be Jacksonville just coming out here saying, you know what, let's take the air out of the ball. Let's shorten the game. Let's see if we can pound this Bears run defense that has struggled at times this season. And they didn't necessarily stick strictly with that philosophy. They did air it out probably a bit more by the end of the game. And then the score gets away from you at a certain point also. But, yeah, it didn't necessarily feel like Jacksonville was deploying the game plan that I kind of thought specifically or exactly they would. But, you know, personnel ends up being a concern there too. But I do think for the Bears defense, having no Jalen Johnson on the field matters. Having no Deion Bush available, that matters. And Buster Screen being banged up. So you don't have three of your top and certainly your second best cover player in Johnson on the field here as of late. But that being said, it doesn't necessarily explain why in some of the predictable passing downs, why the pass rush wasn't getting home. Plenty of quick game that was there, but there were times where there was not quick game going from Jacksonville where the pass rush wasn't there. And there's been some fits and starts to that. I do think Chuck Pagano tried to do what he could to heat up the pocket, bringing at times. We saw Eddie Jackson blitzing. We saw both Roquan and Dan Trevathan from the inside linebacker position blitz on occasion. So I do think he mixed in some different fronts, some different coverage patterns, and different pressure packages that attempted to sort of mix things up on Jacksonville's offense. None of it really seemed to lead to consistent or sort of imposing heat on the pocket that you would like to see from this Bears defense. I think it's, in my opinion, it's worthy of concern. And at the same time, I would say that maybe once you get, and, you know, perhaps what factors into Johnson, Bush, screen, you know, maybe they're not rushing them back because you're thinking we can handle Jacksonville today and let's have as many of those guys as healthy as possible going into the Green Bay game next week to give them the best opportunity to put a foot forward. So maybe when you have your full complement of secondary, if that's available to you next week, then maybe you can do a little bit more with the Packers than you did last time out. That's got to be the best hope for the Bears, I think, because the defense has been situationally been like timely, but certainly has not been just dominant or imposing. And that's, you know, they've earned the privilege of having really high expectations, and they've played well at times, but have been inconsistent. But let's get out to the phone lines here. We've got Dan, who's been on hold for a bit on the phone line, wanting to talk about the quarterback position for the Bears. Dan, you got Olin Kreutz and Anthony Heron here on the Post Show. What's happening?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, man.
Good, good. Hey, just a couple of things here. The last four games, I mean, the Bears' offense has been, it's been kind of fun to watch, something you don't see from a Bears fan, you know. It's like, holy cow, I got an offense. This is exciting. We're scoring points. You know, they've averaged, what, 36 points the last four games? I'm liking that. Couple things, though. So Mitch Trubisky, right? He's our guy for now. What does he have to do to work on throwing that deep ball? It just seems like every time. I mean, today, case in point, he missed Cole Kmet on that deep ball, and it was across the field. I'll give him that. But, man, it seems like if he could get that together with his speed, and it seems like he's dinking and dunking okay to Allen Robinson and Mooney and the other, you know, wide receivers. It seems like he could be decent if he could just throw that deep ball. Has he played himself into a contract with the Bears? What are they going to do with the position next year, do you guys think?
I appreciate the call, Dan. I think that next week's game, while one game, it's difficult to make sort of one game a referendum on everything, but I think the referendum, you know, the jury may have been out if not for the past month that Mitch Trubisky has played here. And I think it's probably fair to assume that he's at least played himself back into a position where the Bears will need to look at how things go next week against Green Bay. So I think a lot of things are back on the table now that perhaps weren't on the table for Mitch Trubisky's future in Chicago a month ago, a month and a half ago. Certainly, you know, he wasn't even in the lineup until a month ago. So, you know, I think when they took Mitch Trubisky out of the lineup, their thought was he's done as a Bears quarterback. He is on the field still at this point for a reason, because he's played pretty well, as we've been mentioning for those who just tuned in. There is context to the opponents the Bears have faced here. But when it comes down to it, like, hey, Pat Mahomes has to play bad teams sometimes too. What do you do against a bad team? You're supposed to light them up? And for the most part, the Bears have lit them up with the run game and certainly with some timely pass plays as well. You would like to see Mitch take certain throws out of his arsenal, not make some of the boneheaded mistakes that are there at times, but he certainly made more plays with that as well. So I think if we didn't have the last three seasons of context for that, those sort of crushing mistakes being a part of Mitch's arsenal too frequently, then if you just look at the last month in a vacuum, you say, you know what, he's made a lot more quality plays than he has negative plays. But some of those negative plays, that one late in the second quarter, it stands out because we've seen Mitch do things like that a good bit over the last 3 years. So specific to the deep ball, and I'll obviously pass it over to you here as well. Oh, specific to the deep ball, I suppose the simplest way I would say is that I do think with some of his time away and on the practice field, he's tried to put more arc on the ball. He threw a really flat deep ball for a lot of his career before, and you almost have to be perfect when you're throwing that, whereas now that he's put a little more loft, I think, on the trajectory of his deeper passes, it's improved them a bit, but there's still times here where he's missing folks like he did with Kmet earlier in the day.
Yeah, and you know, if Mitch Trubisky could throw that deep ball, they would be signing him to a really big contract, because that's one of his big weaknesses, is he misses those when they're there to be hit. And look, you'd have to study film on him and say, okay, it's usually his footwork. He's usually not really set when he's in that pocket, and then he doesn't really have the touch to put it there. Sometimes he falls to his left or his right. So his mechanics and his fundamentals that people have been talking about constantly are not there when he's throwing that deep ball. And that's why you've heard so much, you know, play to his strengths, change the scheme. And now you see him getting the ball out, getting the ball in the playmaker's hands. You know, Allen Robinson, Mooney, Miller, Cole Kmet, Montgomery, whoever it may be, get it in their hands, you know, not beyond 10 yards and let them just make a play. And anytime they ask him to do, you know, what he's not good at, it's just he struggles at that right now. And what can he do? I mean, the same thing we all do for all our positions. You work on your footwork, you work on your fundamentals, and you hope that improves his deep ball. But, you know, as far as re-signing him goes, you know, I would say re-sign him to something of a higher end of a higher paid backup. And because what he has shown is that he is willing to go to the bench and yet get ready and keep himself ready to play. So if he's willing to accept that kind of offer, I think if you're the Chicago Bears, that's about the most you offer him, Big Ant.
Yeah, a lot of that, as you know well, Olin, will largely depend on what the market bears for Mitch Trubisky also. This will be the first time in a while where the salary cap is expected to go down next season. And once Mitch hits the market, he's going to be a restricted free agent. So the Bears will have the ability to match anything that's out there, you know, that another team, one of the other 31 out there in the NFL, would offer Mitch. As far as where he could potentially go and maybe even have a chance to be a starter, I think that story will continue to be written by the time we get through the Green Bay game next week. Also, if you know, if Mitch goes out there, plays well against the Packers, gets the Bears into the playoffs, then, you know, his Q rating continues to climb. So we still got some time. We'll take our final time out of the post-post show, come back. We can get into that a little bit more, but want to make sure we get out to Mark and Pete out there on the phone lines as well. I see you both, so you make sure we get you in here before we close out and get up to Bulls pregame. That's going to be coming up here at around 6:45, where the Bulls will face the Dubs. And, of course, tomorrow and throughout the week, you'll be able to hear myself, Anthony Herron, and Bears legend Olin Kreutz here on The Score. Tomorrow will be a Bears victory Monday with the playoff hopes on the line. They kept that alive today. So take our final timeout, come back, get to the phone lines, and get some thoughts on the potential futures of a couple of key Bears here. We'll do that next on The Score.
With where we're at right now as a team, it's definitely different. Green Bay is a hell of a football team, and there's a reason why they're sitting right now as the number one seed. So, you know, for us, we got to worry about us. We got to understand what happened in that game. And then we know that we're guaranteed one more game, nothing else. And if we do well in that one game, then we'll have an opportunity for more. But we can't worry about that. And we just worry about us.
I would say Matt Nagy had his game face on during the post-game press availability. I think a lot of the other Bears players did as well. Mitch Trubisky's got a little more bass in his voice now than he did a month ago. Dave Montgomery, Allen Robinson, some of the guys I got to watch address the media, Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan. A lot of them had a very focused approach to things. Things weren't too celebratory. Maybe they had their club dub rolling very briefly afterwards, and then I think they recognized the gravity of the game coming up. And Olin Kreutz, you've obviously had the opportunity to experience, you know, a number of different ends of that playoff chase, that championship chase. I want to get your thoughts on Roquan and the Pro Bowl and some of those things a little bit later before we get out of here in a bit. But we got some folks on hold here on the phone line who've been out there for a little bit. So let's get out to Mark, who's out in St. Charles, wants to know some things here, get some thoughts from the legendary Olin Kreutz himself. Mark, what's happening, man? You got Kreutz and Herron.
Hey, gentlemen. It's always post-post is always great, but better during a win.
No doubt.
Hey, Olin, I want to ask you, from the lens of a lineman, do you see anything different in the play calling that's allowing them to win or just to turn their fortunes around?
Yes, the play calling has been totally different. I think Big Ant would agree. They've gone to this outside zone scheme. If you talk about Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak, the Titans run it. Sean McVay runs it down with the Rams. You know, more of a run blocking. Their pass plays are what we call naked in boots, where the linemen basically sell the run play and run sideways
And then the tight end has the defensive end sometimes doubled with the running back. So basically, you know, to make it easier to understand, it is a lot easier on the offensive line. And run blocking is always a lot easier than pass blocking. We had Coach Mike Tice on. He was offensive coordinator here for the Bears for a few years, O-line coach, former head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. And he had a good line. He said, big guys are only big when they're moving forward. So everybody likes to run block, and the pass blocking in this scheme is a lot easier. As before, the Bears offense was a little more based on a shotgun and a lot of 5-on-5 pass blocking, which is the hardest pass blocking there is. And, you know, one thing, Big Ant, that, you know, not to get away from what the caller said, but one thing that Mitch Trubisky has really improved on since coming back from being benched is his effectiveness against the blitz. And he's doing a really good job reading the blitz and getting that ball out to his playmakers.
He really is. And that's where, like, I was using the word command going into last week's game. And I was talking to you a little bit about specifically that word when we had post going last time out, because it feels like there are a lot of elements of Mitch's game that just didn't seem to come natural to him early in his career, where guys who have come from the collegiate ranks, more seasoned, or just have a more, perhaps more of an innate comfort with things on the field, were just further along with things like a hard count, like recognition of a blitz and getting the ball out with some anticipation. Everybody improves with things like that throughout their career, but some of that just didn't seem to come as naturally to Mitch. And frankly, after he got benched and he watched, whether it was watching Nick Foles communicate with Nagy as a peer, whether it was the adjustments here to the offense and the way they have so much movement of the pocket going, the advancement of the run game, all these different factors, I think a number of different factors are kind of coinciding in a way that have Mitch looking more comfortable. And it's made him, you know, he's not one of the most accurate quarterbacks in football consistently. Mechanically, he's still off at times and whatnot, but his accuracy is better. I think today he wasn't as sharp with that as he had been a couple of games coming in, but his accuracy overall is better as the scheme is better. And it allows a level of comfort, I think, for the way he thinks about things with being able to recognize blitz. Get to the line of scrimmage with plenty of time to go and be able to put your eyeballs on the defense. And if you want to kill a play, we hear him killing plays. If you're going to audible, you audibleize. And he seems to have a comfort with the way he's playing that wasn't there before. And, you know, even like there was an opportunity to go up 14-3 where he really threw a well-placed ball to A-Rob's back shoulder. We saw Allen Robinson have a ball hit him in both hands and he didn't pull it down. And that's, you know, there's been a couple of contested passes that defenders kind of ripped away from him earlier in the season on some questionable passes anyway. But that was really one of the only times today, I would say, where Allen Robinson had what seemed to be a really makeable touchdown grab in his mitts that he wasn't able to hold on to. But overall, I agree. There are just some things that Mitch is much better at just mechanically and seeming like he's got an aptitude for the position now that wasn't there before. 312-644-6767. Let's make sure we get another call or two in here before we get to the close of the post show. Pete has been on hold for a bit there out in Vernon Hills. Pete, you got Olin Cruz and Anthony Heron. How's it going, man?
Oh, hey, guys. Honored to talk to you. Hi, I'm Pete. Right. So I played a high school varsity linebacker, right? So when I watch the Bears, I watch it like through the lens of a linebacker. And I'm a huge fan of Urlacher, Butkus, Briggs, Buffon, Rivera, you know, and Smith and Mack and everything, right? So I didn't think the D did as well as I was expecting them to do today. You know, you don't want to ever look past an opponent, but you're looking at a 1-13 opponent. I thought the D would play a bigger role in today's game than they did. And while I was happy to see the offense do as well as they did, I was surprised by that. And then second question, next week, act like you're LaFleur, and if Green Bay wins tonight, who's starting next week against the Bears?
All right, worthwhile question, Pete. I think to the second question as far as who starts next week, I'd be surprised if Aaron Rodgers doesn't start, maybe if they're in a position where the game doesn't mean anything for them in the standings. Maybe he doesn't finish the game, but it seems to me, Olin, you've been in that position against the Packers as a player, so I'd love to hear your thoughts. But I think Aaron Rodgers will start the game regardless, and perhaps get pulled at some point if the game doesn't mean much. But it's one of the great rivalries in sports. So I don't think he necessarily just sits it out, and especially if the game means something. But if it doesn't mean anything in the standings, I could see where he and some of the other key players wouldn't finish for Green Bay. But I think he'll probably start. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he'll definitely start the game. Whether he'll finish, if they have the number one seed locked up, which a lot has to happen for them to get that done. I don't know. I still see them playing, to be honest with you. I see LaFleur playing. I see Aaron Rodgers, as competitive as he is, taking the opportunity to try to knock the Chicago Bears out of the playoffs. I see him taking that chance. I know in 2010, we tried to knock them out when we had a bye locked up, and we didn't, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. So, things like that, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers remembers that, and I'm sure he would love to knock the Chicago, be the reason the Chicago Bears are not in the playoffs.
No doubt, man, no doubt. It will be big for a number of reasons. I think big for, we've talked about Mitch Trubisky a lot, obviously a contract year for him. He'll be a restricted free agent, so the Bears will have an opportunity to match. But next week's game can mean a lot for Mitch Trubisky. Next week's game can mean a lot for Allen Robinson. It was great to see them say Allen Robinson is one of our best offensive players. So is David Montgomery. So is Darnell Mooney. And then, add the tight end position, Jimmy Graham, chief amongst those, into the mix today. But they really focused on getting the ball to A-Rob, Mooney, Montgomery, and finding situations for the tight end position. But where I think it's great when you have a lot of weapons you can trust to spread it around. But that was one thing that stood out to me today. They said Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney, David Montgomery, those guys are going to beat Jacksonville for us today. And I think it's very likely that that'll be the case again next weekend against Green Bay.
Yeah, when you watch Allen Robinson today, it was just a case of our guy is better than your guys.
Yeah.
And they could not cover him. And look, this is a big game for the offense, obviously, to prove that what they've been doing, they can do against a good football team. Obviously, the defense isn't great for Green Bay, but just to stay consistent, keep running the ball, put the ball in the end zone, keep scoring points. And this is also a really big game for the Chicago Bears defense, Big Ant, because since the bye week, they have not looked dominant. In some weeks, they haven't even looked good. So they have to come out, especially against a team that started all of that, that made it really easy to move up, made it look really easy to move up and down the field on this Chicago Bears defense and put 41 points on them. And I know we talked about injuries before, earlier in the show, but they didn't have injuries that week. The Packers just kind of tore them apart. So this Bears defense has a lot to prove. A lot of people seeing and voicing the fact that I'm a little bit worried, the fact that they didn't look dominant today. They didn't look dominant at all last week. And we got to see them playing at a higher level this week coming up against the Green Bay Packers.
A couple of things noteworthy to me. I mentioned Mitch and Allen Robinson. Who knows, man? Potential last game as a Bear, where neither one of them has a contract at the moment beyond the following game there, beyond this coming Green Bay game. We'll see whether or not next weekend their performance against Green Bay, the team's performance against Green Bay, if it means that both of them, either of them, will end up continuing their time here. But that'll be a storyline that I think, because of the importance of the game, it won't be the focus of things, but it's something noteworthy because both guys have obviously been a big part of the sports scene and the storylines here for coverage here in Chicago for a number of years now. Love to, before we get out of here, just get your thoughts. I haven't gotten to talk to you about Roquan Smith not being in the Pro Bowl. You're a guy who made a number of Pro Bowls throughout your career. Know what that means, especially the first time out of the gate. Roquan certainly seemed to be a guy deserving of that, but wasn't awarded with that this year. What were your thoughts on Roquan not being a Pro Bowler?
Yeah, it's always hard when you look at it and you say, okay, he's definitely earned it, right? He deserves it when you look at his stats and the way he's played. But then you say, okay, now who do we take off the Pro Bowl team that got named? And I think it was Bobby Wagner and Fred Warner. Did I say his name right? The San Francisco 49ers.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Middle linebacker, a very good football player. So it was the complete robbery that a lot of Chicago fans wanted to make it out to be, because those are two very good middle linebackers. Mm-hmm. But Roquan definitely had the better stats and, I would say had the better year than Bobby Wagner had.
Yeah, he did. And he seems to be the type of player that will be not only in the discussion, but that will likely make a number of Pro Bowls throughout his career. And I feel like the amount of coverage that was there about it, probably puts, you know, those just observing, and in addition to the players, those who vote on the Pro Bowl and whatnot, I think folks would be maybe more aware of Roquan playing at that status moving forward, and that ends up factoring into these things as well.
You better hope Akeem Hicks stays healthy.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference. Akeem was hitting some blocks today. He's looking healthier.
That guy is a monster,
man. Yeah, man. It's going to matter against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And right now, if it's a noon game, we'll be back there with you again after that game next weekend for Post Post. For Olin Kreutz, I am Anthony Herron. Thanks to Mike Rankin on the other side of the glass. We got Bulls basketball on the way here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.